Sound check done. It looks all right.
Okay. That's not the sounds that we're going to be making when we're recording.
I just like how we go. Yeah, we should change some stuff with like our setup. We've done nothing. Round very two. Jag åkte ner till Stockholm och då fick jag se glänsande Porschar och BMW. Men jag har en kärra som är bättre än då, det är en Volvo 142. Alright, hello everyone. Welcome to another, however long we're doing this, of wanton fuckery, talking about uninteresting things that we find interesting. I'm Jacob.
I'm David.
So yeah, let's get into it, I guess. I don't remember what we were talking about last time, as I said. Okay, so basically, bit of context. David and I and some other people watched, we did like a Bond marathon of all of Craig's Bonds, because new movies coming out and all that stuff. And just skip to the end of the video. We were watching, there's a scene, if you haven't seen, it was in Skyfall, right? Yeah, it was in Skyfall. I don't know if you've seen Skyfall, but whatever, this movie's been out for like 5 years, so spoilers not gonna matter. But at the scene whenever they're all trying to escape from the Parliament building, Bond and M get into a Jag, and we both happen to catch it. I've seen the movie many times before, but there's like a 2 second clip where the Jag, go look it up in your own time, but there's a 2 second clip where the Jag like drifts around a corner and it just like smacks a curb and it looks like it's gonna rip the wheel off.
It looks so rad to begin with because the drift looks nice and I'm like tight, and then it just like fucking nails this curb. And I'm just like, they just kept that.
Yeah, no, I want to hear the story behind
that. Maybe they wanted to, but they fucked it up. That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know, because it's like, you know, one of the things.
They can afford another one.
Yeah,
right?
It's a Bond film, and it's like Jag's going, here's some cars. Play it.
So we'll play
it. I want to watch this again, because it's. There it is. They go outside. And into the car. Tanner gets left behind.
Here you go.
Jesus Christ! And he drives up on the sidewalk.
On the, yeah. That was not intentional.
He goes on the sidewalk, and then did you see the cop car that goes, oh shit, and like tries to dodge around him.
I don't know, hold on, let me look at
it. Like, at the end of it, it's like, they're trying to move around. It's like someone didn't, whoever was choreographing that scene sort of missed out some of that.
And yeah, they're like, just drive frantically away.
Yeah. Watch the cop car, smack, sidewalk, and then look. Where did the, there's like a, what is that, a Focus or something comes out of nowhere.
He was like behind that little tech.
Okay. It's like, I will go into this spot and cover it up.
Sorry, search up Skyfall Court Shootout on
YouTube.
And it's like the last, like, 10 seconds.
Yes. If you haven't seen the movie, rewatch it. We're all excited for Bob, but rewatch it just for that one scene. Oh my gosh. That was, like, the funniest thing in the world. Again, like I said, I've never noticed that. I've seen that movie a bunch, and
I was like, holy fuck.
And then speaking of that movie, when we were watching Casino Royale, in the back of shot on one of them, because they're supposed to be in Montenegro, but then there's a shot in back of scene where, I forgot what happened, but basically, like, Bong is after these dudes. The story is not really important, but anyway, there's a clip, and we both saw it, but in the back of shot, this guy opens the trunk of his car, and there's, like, two bodies in there, and Mathis is like, yeah, I did that, but it was that big Zill limo.
Yes.
And then this kind of got us excited, because we're both, like, weirdly mad about Soviet cars. Even my father, as I mentioned before, every time I go, yeah, I'm going to be, like, you know, I'll be in Germany this summer, he's like, hey, could you bring me back a handful of Trabants? Which is arguably the worst thing to come out of the Soviet bloc, and yet somehow the best.
Hilarious. I don't know. Maybe it's just because we don't have them, and they're really, like, objectively pieces of shit, which I don't doubt that. Yes. But there's something about them. I think it's just how utilitarian they are. They're made to, like, last, and, like, that's it.
Yeah, you know, what?
They're not made to have features. They're not made to go fast, most of them. No. There were V8s in, I think, some of the Zills.
There were V8s in the Zills, and I remember that. Like, pull that up. And then the Gaz, the Chaika, had one.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was a car that had a big V8. It was supposed to look like, you know, like a Bel Air. Some 57 Chevy. I guess it'd be a Bel Air.
This one? That looks kind of close.
I think that's the one that was in the movie. What was it? It was like a Z17 or something like that, I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it? One? Yeah, that was it.
I don't know.
And freaking it had a...
Sweet. It looks 7-liter Zill 114 V8.
What is the power output?
What the fuck? Maximum power output of 300 horsepower.
That's actually... gross. That's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It's like... Well, I don't know much about, like, Soviet, like,
engineering.
Like, what do they call it? Not economic policy, but like their environmental oh, yeah. policy. I feel like, especially for government officials, they kind of wave the whole. So I don't know. Maybe it doesn't have cats. Maybe it just there's just like runs rich as fuck. I really don't know.
What year is it?
Because it's 71 to 78.
I mean, we were, yeah, if it makes 300 horsepower, because, I mean, the 7-liter V8s here were making, like, what, 140 or something horrible. You know something
crazy. What's, like, a good, like, a Lincoln, like, an old Lincoln
or something? I was going to say, look at the Continental, like, Mark 7 or something like that, and I guarantee it's, one of those has got an insane, like, huge engine, or it'd be one of those, one of the GM products of the era.
Mm. Well,
but, yeah, the 7, it's just comparatively to, I'm pretty sure... And I mean, honestly, like, it's probably just like, yeah, don't worry about it. One of them had an 8-liter V8. I don't remember if it was Ford or GM, or it might have been Chrysler, but...
I'm trying to find horsepower on here.
I'm going to say less than 200. What is it?
Holy fuck. It's the first... Okay, hold on. In their place was the first fuel-injected V8 engine produced by Ford Motor Company. Based on a 302-cubic-inch small-block V8, the newly christened 129-horsepower 5-liter V8.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, emissions are a bitch.
It's just really, what the hell? I mean, I get it. It was new for them to try to make emissions-friendly vehicles.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ. It's like, and then you look at the Zill, and you're like, oh, 300, pathetic from 7 liters. But they're making double, more than double that horsepower.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they do have quite a bit more displacement, but like...
I want to say I read something. You're
like, and it's like... Russian engineering, you know, it can be good, right? But, like, I don't know. I just... I feel like their engineering is made not to be, like, highly performance, but to last a really long time.
Robust over...
Robust.
Yeah.
That's the word. I feel like that's the whole their whole, like, mantra.
Especially in the Soviet era. But, so, I mean...
I feel like their environmental shit was just not there.
I mean, probably not. Like, we barely got into that. And even the environmental stuff, a lot of it was... What a reaction to, well, not necessarily the EPA stuff, but the fuel economy stuff. Everyone was just trying to make more efficient cars because gas crisis time, and Russia produces their own gas, or they did at the time. Well, they still do. It's like Gazprom or whatever. But yeah, no, it was, I'm endlessly blown away by, I mean, horsepower figures and stuff like that. However, Soviet cars in general, like, I really like, and I know you do too, and I know you can talk about this even more than me, but anything Tatra does.
Yes. Tatra's really cool. If you guys haven't heard of it, they made... They're actually, I feel like, more popular for their trucks. For their, like,
yeah,
off-road trucks. Because they make some really crazy, like, 8-wheeled, like, 6-wheeled, you know, 12-wheeled, maybe. I don't even know how high it goes. Yeah. It goes up really high, though. The trucks. And these trucks are, like, all-wheel drive. They're super crazy off-road. They're used for, like, I don't even know. I'm assuming for, like, carrying, like, loads through very shitty terrain.
And they still make them today. Like, they still, do I think still that's all them. They do.
You can, yeah, they don't make any cars anymore, I don't think. But, yeah, they're really cool and, like, the best at what they do. I mean, as far as I know, anyway, they're crazy. I remember doing something similar, at least, in Spin Tires, that game. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. It's like living my fantasy. And the engines in those, they were something like ridiculous displacement, but they were naturally aspirated diesel.
Oh, wow. I don't know that.
I think they're air-cooled as well. But anyway, for their cars, they pretty much did like one layout, that being it was like usually a four-door. I believe they're all four doors.
I think so, yeah.
But it was rear-engined, air-cooled V8, which is ridiculous. And I mean, the displacement wasn't huge. I think it was up to 3.5 on the last one.
Yeah.
But I'll look it up. So, but they're really cool cars, just like a very bizarro kind of car. And I don't think the production numbers were ever super high, but I still feel like they're not that known. And so I remember seeing one that was imported.
Yeah, we found that one. It was like
11, 7 to 11.
Yeah, it was on Hemmings. It was like perfect.
I was
like,
this is not bad.
And it was the last one that they made for the KGB, which is like coolest one.
That one was sweet. The 700, I believe.
Yeah, because it's this like,
or MT.
They're all I think it was MTs. But there are all these rear engine V8, you know, manual. I don't think they're all like, you know, 4-speed on the floor or something like that. But like, I know the original ones were super aerodynamic, that teardrop thing, and then they start getting into this thing. But it's this like, it's a car that looks textbook 80s car, but then you look at it, you're like, it's shaped a little weird, and then it's a 4-door sedan with a V8 in the back.
It's crazy. The 603 was a really cool one too. That one was the teardrop shaped one that, like, mm-hmm. you said, and this one looks super rad.
Is that the one of that guy, that video I found where he was ripping it around a
yeah,
track?
Yeah, he was like rallying it and stuff. Yeah. It definitely did race. Yeah, T603 in competition. It took part in 79 races, years 57 to 67, resulting in total 61st, 56 second, and 49 third positions. What the fuck?
Wait, that's a big 56 and then second? What?
60 first positions, 56 second positions, and 49 third positions.
From a Tatra. That's kind of a boat.
Wait, what the fuck? How, did it do really good? And I just don't know?
I didn't know that. I'm surprised. I'm blown away by that.
That's insane. Rally Monte Carlo 1960.
What?
They race in that. What the fuck?
I can't believe.
I guess that's kind of like.
I guess if you get a big heavy car and put the engine over the tires that are spinning, it might have more track. If it is a rally in the sense of, like, you know, World Rally Championship.
I don't even know if they weighed that much. I mean, how much did they weigh? Curb weight, 3,000. Okay. That was kind of like. That's it's not lot. Heavy, but for the time, that was a little, probably a little heavier. But it did have a V8. Although it's a 2.5 liter V8 in the 603. Which is tiny. They make inline fours now that big.
Yeah, I was gonna. Yeah,
which is, that is a big inline four, but it's.
I was thinking of one of my old, like, my E46 had that. It was that size. It was like a 2.5. Yeah, that's. Wow.
Yeah, but let me look up the trucks. Hold on.
The trucks are cool, because it's like. They're all like the Mercedes, like the Unimog. It's like that kind of style of uber off road, but also like utility and. Yeah. All this stuff, and
there's quite a few engines that were in there. There were Tatra ones, Deutz ones. I don't really know much about that manufacturer. Mm-hmm. Cummins, Cat, Detroit, MTU.
Cummins and Detroit Diesel.
Yeah, no. Is
that post?
Right?
Is that post like wall falling?
It's 1983 to present. So.
Oh wow, that's.
It's probably. The end of I believe that. Those were like later engines.
Yeah.
Actually, wait, no. They still on the air cooled Tatra ones. It's still 1983 to present.
Wow.
For all the production of those engines. Okay, so you can get a V8 air-cooled, naturally aspirated diesel, 12.6 liters. Kind of small, you know? The V10 one, you know, stepping up a class, 15.8 liters.
Oh, my God.
You know, but mid-range is kind of okay. Like, it's acceptable. And then the V12 is sitting in at 19 liters.
Oh, my God.
That's insane. Absolutely insane.
That's like more than a... You know, like a tank has. And tanks are like turbo diesel, I understand that, but that's... What are the figures on the 20 nearly liter? Does it give you that?
Diesel engine with direct... It is turbocharged, not naturally aspirated diesel.
Thank you, Google. How have I set that up?
Okay. What's the specs on them? I have to look. Yeah, this is crazy. Let's look at the V12, because I mean, come on. Oh, wait, it just directs me to a
Tatra's
V12 list. Engine.
Oh, thank you, Wikipedia.
Okay, yeah, great. Thank you. It's awesome.
V12 engine is a cylinder with engine with two banks of six cylinders arranged in a V pattern.
Emission specifications 0.2 to Euro 5 with output ranging from 230 to let's do that in horsepower. 308 to 436 horsepower. And the torque's crazy.
What is it?
1,000 to 1,500 pound feet.
Jesus Christ. That'll like spin the planet
what
the other way
the
around.
Hell, man.
That's that kind of torque.
Whew.
And I thought my diesel Golf was torquey at, like, 220 foot-pounds.
Okay, so it can also be fitted with water-cooled engines made by other manufacturers. They'll be coming with power ranging from 350 to 590 horsepower with torque from 1,140 to 2,000 pound-feet.
Jesus.
And you're like, that's good, you know? But they're water cooled. Like they're in a whole nother league, right?
And they're like,
and
the
they're
same.
Not able to get that much more. Yeah. You'd think it'd be so much more, but Tatra with their like Stone Age technology, air cooled diesel is able to, you know, box with them.
That's like one of those things. I'm like, you know how like the Jeep has been made basically, you know, Second World War or whatever. It's been like the Wrangler now is like an extension of that.
Yeah.
Like, kind of Tatra to this extent. It's always, like, stuff like that. I'm like, what if they'd kept making the Beetle? But, like, actually change something. Like, what would that be? Because you wouldn't have this, like, you know, golf-based thing or whatever. But I'm, like, I'm genuinely, like, I've always been curious as, like, what that would have come out to. Because they did a lot of random kind of interesting stuff in Mexico with it.
Yeah.
But, like...
And Beetles, is that not the longest produced car? Like, longest running, like, car model?
I was going to say, the only thing that could possibly surpass would be some Lada, but, like...
I feel like Lada's probably close.
I think Ladas were, like, 20... I mean, they're still making the Riva.
Yeah,
I mean, and they have a four-door one now.
Oh yeah,
which is like the best thing ever. And I went on their website. And it's like, oh yes, what can I get in 2020 or 2019? It's like a brand new Lada Riva.
It's just like I don't know how you would specify that, because it's like the Beetle was like the same throughout this whole life.
Yeah,
like, they changed very small things like incrementally, but the Lada, it's like how do you count it? Because there were like different models, right? Well, but they were very similar.
The original one, which was called the Niva, I don't remember what the number designation is, but that one, the one that was a Fiat 124 originally.
Yeah.
I know it's like, I'm pretty sure the Beetle, as far as I know, it is the longest produced, but I'm just like, compare that to like the Soviet attitude of like, we're not going to change it, we're just going to keep improving it, which I kind of like, in some ways, admire.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, the only problem is you start with a Fiat 124, make it heavier, whatever, built for Russian roads at the time. Cool. And then the problem is you keep making that, the tooling wears out, and you look at the panel gaps on some of the like 2000, the late 90s, early 2000s one, yeah. And you can fit your fist in it. Like, it's some of them are insane, but they're very cool. But I think technically it's the same car. It's kind of like, well, I don't know, the Nissan Frontier, that's really random, but you know the Nissan Frontier, the little truck, they've been making it, I think I did the math, something like 15 years without change. And then, like, they're coming out with a new one, like, next year. But then they go, ooh, for our final edition, we're going to put the 3.8 in it from, like, or 3.7, I think, from a Z. I mean, it's tuned differently, but I was like, ooh, wait, what a way to go. But those things, it's kind of like that, where it's, I think they do facelifts, you can technically do that, but it is not a different chassis. I think that's the differentiation.
Yeah, okay, so it's like, they're technically different cars when you talk about the Lada ones. So they can't, like, win that award, but... The 2101, correct me if there's one earlier than this, but this is the one I can find right now. Actually, there had to have been.
Does it have two big round headlights?
Yes.
That's the first
one. Actually, wait, yeah, that is.
But no, it's the same car. Because, I mean, you look at it, and if you look at it, the next one, yeah, it's like, they just facelifted, they kind of added stuff to it, but it's the same basic chassis.
Yeah, I mean, freaking shoot me, but it's like NA to NB type of transition.
True, yeah, no. I almost want to say...
car. I don't want to get heated, but...
I almost want to say it's less than that, though.
Hmm?
I almost want to say it's less than that,
though. I generally don't know that much about Ladas, but from what I've heard, they just stayed very similar throughout their whole run. Okay, so the 2101, absolutely. 1970 to 1988. The 2103 is
70 to 88. 18 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, let's see. Wow. 2103 is 72 to 84. 2106 was 76 to 2006.
20 years. 30, wait. 30 years?
86, 96. 30 years, yeah.
Wow. I want to go get one when I'm in Germany.
That's crazy. Wait. Safety by modern standards. There's just like a tiny little blurb down here, like two sentences. In 2002, the ISMASH version of the VAS 2106 was awarded 0 stars out of a possible 4 by the Russian ARCAP Safety Assessment Program. The reviewers noted that the result was unsurprising. Imagine that. And the car was outdated by the time of the test, with its construction dating back to the 1960s. Yeah, so they're even saying here, like, it's basically a car from the 1960s.
Yes. I like the idea of, like, we're going to put... I mean, could you imagine, like a Ford Pinto, from the 70s? They kept making it, and they go, "Oh, we're gonna put it into a 2020 crash test. Oh, it's done poorly."
No speed bumpers, no matter how big they are, would ever save that car from
those huge
just crumpling
metal things. Yeah. But then that goes to the thing. It's like, you know, it's a unibody, isn't it?
The 2106.
I think it is. The Fiat was doing unibodies. Yeah.
Wait, really?
I feel like it is.
I could buy it. I mean.
I don't know if you can quickly Google that.
I'll just search up Fiat 124 and see if that was a unibody.
Because I know the Fiat, the 124 was also this, it shared the same
body.
Also, on a side note, I really like the 124 sedan. You can't find them in the US because they're all rusted, but like, those are cool.
Yeah, the 124s are pretty sweet.
And because I'm not really a fan of the Spider or the Alpha Spider.
Mm-hmm.
The new one I like just because it's like a Miata. I mean, it is a Miata, but it's got, like, the Abarth engine, so it's kind of, like, it's a little different. But I think that they look cool. But I'm not a fan of it. Actually, no, sorry, the Fiat, the 124 is actually a pretty good-looking car. The one I don't like, definitely, is the Alpha.
The Spider. Alpha one looks pretty bad.
And I don't think they were related. I really don't. I think they were different companies. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think they're different, but I just don't like it. Yeah, I think the 124, actually, if you do it right, it looks good.
The original 124?
Yeah. But again, like I said, I think there's a unibody.
I could buy it, yeah. I really don't know that much about
I'm just gonna assume it is. But then that brings up another thing. It's like there are no body on frame cars anymore.
Oh yeah, we were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
Fucking. I think. I mean, there are for trucks, right?
Trucks are still body on frame, and they're. I mean, they're starting to change. I think it'll be a long time because the issue is it's like. You need a frame, like you need a lot of weight if you're gonna pull like 11,000 pounds. Because mm-hmm. you know, put a tow hitch on the back of like a Golf, it's gonna rip a hole through the bottom of the chassis.
I feel like it's the flex stuff too. Like that's, you don't yeah. want it to like slowly degrade like the body. And I feel like the frame helps when you're towing because yeah. it's like attached to this like big ass giant like really firm piece of metal.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like also trucks are a lot about like repair. You know, like they need to be easy to repair.
And what if you have a frame, it's cheaper, because, you know, it's like old 70s cars, you just also, put a new fender on it, it's easier to do.
With, when you can make it for the civilian, and you can make it for commercial use, because you can have your, like, short bed for the civilian, mm-hmm. you can put your crew cab, it's all on the same platform.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
can have then a flat bed, you can put a dually, you could do a long bed, and yeah. it's like... That's all just very minor changes, and you don't have to change the frame.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, when you do unibody, I feel like you're going to have to change a lot more stuff.
Because I was going to say, that was one of the big things, like, because I used to work for Ford. You know, they come off into dealerships, and then, you know, you've got ones where it's just a cab with no back on it.
Yeah.
And then you just, and then the chassis is just bare. There's literally a piece of wood or cardboard on it, and then they yeah. take it, they make an ambulance out of it or whatever they want. Or the buses they have here at university, yeah. those are F-350s, and stuff like that. It's like... It's really easy to do because it's just it's like Lego.
Yeah.
Because you just, oh, we'll make this longer, whatever, and then do that kind of thing.
Definitely. I feel like if a manufacturer wants to sell their trucks to like companies and people wanting to create other vehicles out of them, emergency response vehicles or use them for utility, flatbed, etc., they're gonna have to stick with frame. I just yeah. don't know how else you would do it. Maybe besides some really clever construction, maybe like half unibody, half frame. I could see. A manufacturer, if they're trying to make a truck that's just for the consumer market, like a Honda Ridgeline or something.
I was going to say, yeah, the Honda Ridgeline's a unibody, and it's front-wheel drive.
I bet, yeah.
It's front-wheel drive. Yeah. It's like, it's a Honda Pilot underneath. It's not that kind of thing.
Yeah, but let's say, like, frame, body-on-frame sedans are just dead.
Yes.
Like, they're gone.
Rip the Crown Victoria. The whole Panther platform was...
Yeah.
I have a soft spot for it, especially the CVPIs.
It's like... I remember I was talking with this guy I met at like a, it was like a Thanksgiving party thing. His name was Dick, and he used to.
What a laugh! What a such a child. Oh, his name
Richard.
Was Dick.
His name was Richard.
I'm damn near 22 years old. That's still funny to me. Anyway,
he worked at a repair place for police vehicles, and this guy's an old guy in his like 60s, 70s, and so he's seen all the generations. And they tried to get his kind of like division to adopt a, I forget what it was. It might have been like a Taurus or something.
Was it like the original Taurus?
I don't remember.
I've heard this.
It was a unibody.
I don't think you told me about this, but yeah. Okay, keep going. I don't remember this.
Well, it was basically a unibody car, and it was front wheel drive. And so before that, I mean, I think that this was in the Crown Vic era. Either way, it was on a body on frame mm-hmm. era. And, you know, they're talking, and this guy, he just runs, like, the shop. Dick yeah. runs the shop. But he, you know, hears them talking about it, comes into the conversation, like, learns a little about the car, and says, like, no. Like, this is a bad idea. Because of the unibody construction, if something gets curbed, it messes up a lot more shit than it would otherwise. Because of the, like, McPherson, or however it was constructed, it would mess up, like, a bunch of shit on the inside. And also, because it was front-wheel drive... A big thing was if it gets curved really hard, the drive shaft is going to be sent through the transmission and just break it. So not only are you repairing like your air arms or whatever, and suspension components, you're replacing the transmission and who knows what the fuck else. And they didn't buy it because he went in and the repairman was like, yeah, they're going to be great. I'm sure they're going to be fast on the road and nimble, you know, whatever. Yeah. But as soon as a police officer curbs one, which is going to happen, they drive fast all the time. They're in dangerous situations. Like, they're going to be out for so long and it's mm-hmm. going to take so much money to repair. And so, yeah, that's why the body on frame cars are good. Like, that's why they're good as police vehicles. And that's, I think, something that people kind of overlook. And, like, why did they keep the Crown Vic for so long? It's because it was so simple and so easy to repair.
And Ford were the only people doing it, because GM stopped making the Caprice. They had the other Caprice. Yeah, they had the other Caprice. They had the other Caprice, but it was like, it was just a bigger, not VXR, Holden, Commodore. Yeah, yeah. It was just a longer Commodore. Yeah. But yeah, no, they were the only people doing it, so then...
Those are their only choice. And so, yeah. And then, do you know if the, like, Explorers and stuff, are they body on frame that they're using now?
No, the ones they were using, so the one, when the new Explorer, like, came back out, mm-hmm. and it's, again, super popular.
Yeah.
I kind of like them, especially the fast ones, but... The new Taurus, the one that they're not going to sell in the U.S. because we're not buying cars, because that's going to be a great idea that's going to pan out great for GM and yeah. Ford and FCA, I imagine so. Anyway, that whole thing, the Explorer is a Taurus underneath. Because the Edge is a Fusion, it's all, you know, it's they're crossovers, they're not body and frame. The mm-hmm. new one is at least rear-wheel drive, it doesn't really matter because the older one was all-wheel drive, and I think the new cop cars are all-wheel drive again. But now Ford has stopped making the Interceptor sedan mm-hmm. because it's like, you just get so much... space out of the Explorer. The thing I don't know is GM does the Intercept or whatever they call theirs, the PPV or whatever, mm-hmm. The Pursuit ones of the Tahoes.
Okay.
And I know you've seen, I don't know if you've noticed it, but if you see them, they're lower, they have smaller diameter wheels so they can accelerate faster. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, it's a body on frame, it's a truck chassis. What yeah. I don't know is how they compare to each other. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know where running costs come into that, because technically, if you're running, not all of them are this, but if you're running, like, you know, a twin turbo EcoBoost V6, mm-hmm. generally, that's going to have more maintenance and stuff than a, you know, a Chevy V8 that been making for 30, 50, 1,000 years. So it's like, I don't know where that comes across. So, like, I don't know what the move is now, but from what I've seen, the Explorer, Sport Utility, whatever, is, like, super popular. What I have seen them doing, though, is because they axed the Taurus, mm-hmm. and they've been making the Fusion still for a million years at this point. They're like going, oh, you can have a hybrid Fusion, like a city car or whatever. I've seen some of that come out, and they're trying to, Ford's trying to pitch that to whoever. But the thing is, it's Crown Vicks and stuff, they can go over curbs.
Yeah.
Because they're made to, like, the shocks on it, they're real hard, they're stiff, and they're taller than normal Crown. That's why people would, I would always say, you know, I'd see reviews and they go, why would you buy this? And someone, it's probably like regular car reviews or something, he was making fun of it, and he was like, why would you buy this, and saying it's sporty? Basically on the whole idea that most people buy them to look like cops. But aside from that, he's like, it's taller. I mean, it does have stiffer, it will handle better. It's made for that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. it's like, they're taller, so they can go over curbs. And then I remember reading something, it's like, if you compare DK's Taurus, it's just, you know, SEL, whatever, 3.5 front-wheel drive, is the Pursuit ones were, I think, I don't know if they were all-wheel drive, but mm-hmm. it's, they were taller and they had different suspension. I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know where that goes to,
yeah.
but so that they could hop curbs, because the Tauruses were supposed to be city cars, and then the Explorers were supposed to be, like, pursuit vehicles, even though it's the same chassis, they were the same height, so I don't know. The new ones, though, I think they can probably do more with, because they are rear-wheel drive, and then they share Mustang parts.
Okay.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but, like, it's... Okay, long story short, they're all unibodies, so...
That's a funny thing that Dick ended up telling me. I was, like, you know, I was talking with him, and I was like, oh, yeah, I heard the Crown Vicks, like, they were made taller to hop over curbs. And he was like, yeah, usually, because I guess originally there weren't. And he was like, yeah, usually if a particular officer curbed the car a few too many times and fucked it up from hopping over too many curbs, we'd outfit him with the shocks that made it taller. And I guess eventually they spread that to the fleet.
I didn't know. But I've never. That's amazing.
It was hilarious. I was like, oh, so you'd be like, oh, this guy again. I guess it's time.
Oh, he's got the oil pan off again. I guess we better give him the tall shocks. Oh my god, that's amazing.
That's hilarious.
I didn't know that was. That's awesome.
Something I just thought of. Okay, so I wonder how much they miss the body on frame. I wonder how important that is. If it is important enough, and if they will save enough money from it, I see it being a possibility that they have, I mean, they already have this, but it being more mainstream, police trucks. Because they're body on frame.
But that's why they use the Tahoes.
Yeah.
I don't know, but keep going. I'm not.
But it's like, actually, yeah, I guess you would might as well get a Tahoe at that point. Like, just.
But then what are you getting from a truck other than body on frame? Like, are you saying just because it's body on
frame? Yeah. Well, yeah, get an SUV then. You're right.
Well, that's it. Well, the thing is, the Explorer's not. But then, because where they two compete, Dodge, FCA, they're doing their own thing. Just whatever. They make really fast Challengers, Chargers. They're all around here, but as you could tell, and they're all Hemis. But aside from that, they're just making pursuit vehicles, basically. But I don't know, because from where, like, my hometown, it was all Crown Vicks. And then for a while they had Ford Explorers, the old ones that were the Ranger chassis.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was odd. And what I've seen now is they all use the new Explorers. Because I actually used to work at the Ford there, and they'd come through the body shop, because it was a very, very big Ford dealership, and they would come through the body shop and then get, you know, police painted on it, they'd get all the striping done, and then they'd go out on service. So I think now they're using all Ford products.
Okay.
And I don't know why they pick those, necessarily, but I have seen around... I've seen campus police has old Tahoes, and they're horrible, the amount of, like, ticking they do when they drive around. I'm like, you need to fix that, but... Other than that, I don't know, because I don't know what you're getting. But I don't know what officers like, because if you're looking for a car that will handle well, theoretically, Crown Vic should outhandle Explorer, because it's not tall.
Yeah.
And it's got newer engine. You know, the 4.6, great workhorse of an engine, not that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Four-speed automatic. I don't know what they're basing stuff on. I don't know if they're just going, this is all we can get, this is fastest one.
The police are not... They're not going to handle well in any car you give them, because they're not, like, race car drivers. They're not, like,
top. They are trained, though. They are trained in pursuit vehicles. Yeah, okay. You can see videos. Okay. They are trained, David.
For some reason, I think they're just bumbling idiots, and they're just going to crash.
Maybe the everything. Campus police, but not, not the actual police. If there's even a difference. But no, as far as I know, yeah, they go through. Is it completely unrelated? Have you ever seen police motorcyclist training?
Yes.
And they're dipping the Harley, yeah, like, on the side. I was like,
what the fuck?
That's insane. Very That's impressive. A whole other subject. But no, it's just like, I don't know. I know they go through driver training, because I've seen videos. When the new one was coming out, the new Interceptor, whatever the hell they're calling it,
mm-hmm.
Explorer, they were testing. There was a hybrid version, like the 3.3, there's new V6. I think it's like non-turbo, and then a turbo one. And they were driving around a track, you know, like some kind of setup they have. And then... They were like, oh, like comparing the two or three or whatever, and then like going, this one's all-wheel drive, this is rear-wheel drive, and stuff like that. I saw a couple of clips. From what I remember, I heard they were like, oh, it's rear-wheel drive now. You can definitely tell, and that's better. So I guess that's a good thing. The reason you'd get an SUV, you put more stuff in it.
Yeah.
Which I get. And then the other thing is, if you look at it from Ford's side of things, who's buying a Crown Victoria in 2011?
I mean,
other than the police.
It's just, the thing is, I hear that... The majority of the Crown Vic sales were fleet sales, and like barely anyone bought them as a consumer.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I feel like they've kind of accepted that fact, but still continue to make them because the fleet sales made them so much money.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like it might even make sense for some manufacturer, probably Ford or GM, to build a body-on-frame sedan just for fleets.
Yeah, and that actually goes back to the thing we were talking about. Like, you want a robust, cheap thing.
Yeah.
Like the Soviet. You know what?
This is kind of like Frankenstein-y, but like, take the machining that makes the truck frame.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of size it down or whatever to make it fit like a sedan size. And take the body from a sedan, from like the Taurus or whatever. And again, modify that tooling to create... bodies that would fit on the frame.
Yeah, where it's
this
like,
might be ridiculous, but I'm like, I'm trying going. To it's... save them money. You know what I mean? Because they're not going to create a whole new body design and all this shit and hire all these new designers to make a fleet vehicle.
Yeah.
But I feel like if they could piece the parts together, they can make this fleet vehicle that basically revives the Crown Vic and revives the frame-on-body sedan police car.
And the thing is, they work really well as cop cars. And everyone's like, especially in the U.S., in an era when no one wants a sedan car. Okay, cool. Sedans are cheaper to build. There's less parts in them. They're faster for the police.
Yeah.
They handle better for the police.
Exactly.
And everything's cheaper. There's less stuff to go wrong. I mean, I get if they're going for, like, oh, utility. Cool. But, like, in reality, what are you going to carry... Like, the trunk of a Crown Vic is enormous. Any Panther body has a huge trunk. Is that really any bigger than
what
the...
What do police officers really carry around? It's not like they're hauling around body. Like, they just, like...
They have guns and a dog sometimes.
But that can fit in a Crown Vic.
Well, they're also not in the back. I mean, sometimes they are. Not that I know that much about the police forces. Someone will correct us on that, and that's fine. I hope someone's getting quite angry at us. But no, I know, like... Behind, you know, like the guns would be like up here. I think they might have stuff in the back.
Okay.
And then, you know, what do you need? Like two spaces to put people you arrest? Because the Explorer doesn't have three rows. You're not gonna slide the second row forwards and go, hey, could you get in the back, please?
I don't think even for safety, and a police officer would arrest like five people and load them into the back of a like a fucking
yeah. Could you imagine? Oh, let's pull
like a Ford Flex or something.
Or no, oh, no. A Ford Flex police. Yeah, car. Yeah. Holy That's fuck. Where it's at. Because you can get the show engine and drivetrain in it.
They're kind of lower. All I'm saying is, if you're trying to arrest the most people in one go,
buy a flex. This is the. Can you please like somehow be the spokesperson and bring it back? But like, oh my god,
is
I have a love hate relationship.
Flex is unibody, right?
Yeah, it's a. Okay. That's also a Taurus. The Taurus is like Ford took the Taco Bell approach to the Taurus. They just go no, and actually, worse. You know the old. You may not know the Ford Freestyle.
I've never heard of that.
Okay, Google it. Google it right now. The Ford, I think it's called
the Freestyle. Have you heard of the Ford 500?
That's what I'm talking about. It's the wagon version. No, 500. Because that was when Ford went on that whole, we're going to call all of our cars with F names. And then like 2 years later, that goes to the Taurus.
It's so weird.
The Ford 500, right? You're aware of that car, yes?
Yes, yes.
Okay, the underpinnings of that car were taken, modified, updated, whatever. The underpinnings of that car were the Ford 500, which became the Taurus again when they changed it, which were also the underpinnings for the, I think it was the Freestar was the minivan, it was the Freestyle, okay? It was like a wagon version. It was, you know, the old Cadillac SRX?
This looks okay.
Let me see it. Are you looking at the right thing? It's a fine looking car. But the thing is, okay, the Ford 500, the underpinnings of that were the same for the 500 and the Freestyle. Then they facelifted both of them, and they were both called the Taurus. You had the Taurus and Taurus X. Those are all the same chassis. They then took the Taurus X, made it taller, and they called that the Ford Explorer.
Okay.
And then they took it, the Taurus, made it newer, changed the body, and that was the Taurus they've been making forever. Then they took that, made it longer, the Freestyle one, made it longer, and that was the Ford Flex. And if you look back at it, you sit there and you go, oh, it's got, you know, a... if you look at the EcoBoost 3.5, what had they been making forever before that? The Duratec 3.5.
That's what it is.
It's the same thing. They've been making that chassis for years.
It's awesome. Are you telling me that this started with the Ford 500?
Yes.
What a legend. The thing is, like, you don't see the Ford 500 because I feel like I had a really short time because they were like, oh, this is a really stupid name. Please.
I've ridden in one, actually. A friend of mine had one. He lived in Chicago. I went and visited him. We drove around. He drove me, like, we went in eight. He told me 2 months later he wrapped it around a telephone pole.
Oh, good.
That's all. Get him off the road. That's all I know of the Ford 500.
It's okay. Sorry, I spelled it wrong when I was searching it. I put Ford 500 like 500.
Mm-hmm.
It's spelled out.
Oh yeah,
Ford 500.
Because it has to start with an F. Out. Because that was when they go.
Yeah,
they had the Ford Focus, Ford Fiesta, Ford 500.
The number five doesn't start with an F.
No, it starts with a five. It
starts with a five.
The Ford 500, Ford F-150, Ford Fusion, Ford Explorer. Okay. No, but 2011, actually, 2011...
This is actually kind of... Deriving its nameplate from the 500 suffix used by Ford on the Custom 500, Fairlane 500, and Galaxy 500.
Yes, but if you look at the two cars together, you go, that's a very nice, cool, big coupe from the 60s and 70s. That is what old people drive to church. And they're always beige or silver or gray. Okay. Or sometimes white.
Guess the amount of years that the 500 was made.
It was like two, wasn't it?
It was three.
Ooh.
Four, five.
They go, wow, why?
2004 and then seven.
We asked the Taurus, why is no one buying our new one?
I remember seeing one on the street. I saw 500 on the back, and I was like, is this like a custom? Like,
or was it like a dealer name?
I was like, this is a Taurus.
Yeah.
I was like, this, what is it, a 500? I looked it up. I was like, is this like a name that they used like in Mexico or something?
Yeah.
Or like overseas, and someone imported it for some weird reason? Like, no, it's just...
beige sedan.
It was 500 than Taurus, like, really soon after.
Yes, that's it. Also, a random fact about those that I know. It's just the
that's
saddest
like what every thing. Civilian drives in GTA.
Yes, it's an NPC car. But actually, I don't know, I feel like you showing me that now. It's not as bad looking as I remember.
No, it's not that bad. It's because every just... one that we see is a piece of shit. And this one's like actually new and shiny.
Well,
and
it was like, it was
good.
That one's good. It was like the comment, whatever. I don't know if we talked about it before. It was like the comment of every SN95 Mustang looks like it just got out of a bar fight. Fords don't age well or
it's,
something like
the
that.
Thing, it's like a lot of cars, I sometimes see them on the road and I'm like, that doesn't look as bad as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because they're not, like, beat to death. They're
thrashed like every Taurus you see.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, I see this new on the Wikipedia page, and I'm like, oh, that's not that bad. I could have, like, I don't know, one of those in a pinch. But the thing is, it's like...
in a pinch.
I mean, I'd never choose...
Be a big pinch to get that over, like,
you know,
a Camry.
Exactly. But you see one on the road and they're disgusting because they just, yeah, they're not taken care of. Which, why would you? It's a Ford 500 spelled, yeah, out.
Like, the literally
with letters, not numbers.
The friend of mine who had one, I got in the interior and it was the sort of like, it was made of the kind of plastics that like chocolates come in. You know, and everything was the
they're just like,
yes, it was,
they're just like the thickness of like half a credit card.
And it was, they were all the gray color of like, it, that car was, came out what, 2006 2008, something
five.
Like that. Okay, 2005.
Four. Wait,
that's older than I thought.
Oh, the production years are 5 to 7. Oh, so production years are actually 2 years, but the, or no, model years are 2 years, sorry, model years are 5 to 7, production years are 4 to 7.
Oh,
so you're right, it was 2 years for the model years.
It was the edge of that era when Ford, before 2008, when, to me, excuse me, and I used to go like, oh, well, you know, Ford didn't go bankrupt like GM. Apparently, they just got a bunch of money beforehand, and they just were able to make it through. But nice. From like 2008, 2010 on, it looks like they kind of really changed some stuff, and they got better, but it's that same, the interior of that car was like a Ford from 1995. It was like 10 years off, and it's just, it was,
crazy.
I do remember, it's like, ooh, the Ford 500 for your luxury needs. They did have a Mercury version, I just remember, before Mercury went to fund, and I don't know if they had a Lincoln version, but I know they had a Mercury version. It might have been called the Montego, like the old
500
was
marketed by Lincoln Mercury on the revised Mercury Montego nameplate,
yeah,
slotted between the Mercury Milan and the Mercury Grand Marquis.
The Milan was the Fusion, and then the Grand Marquis was the Panther.
Oh, wow.
C
this
Crown
looks
Vic.
The same, but they put a different grill on it.
It's like the laziest design.
If you took the grill from a Mercury and put it on your 500,
it's worth a lot
you'd be
more
like,
money.
Oh.
Could you imagine
drive
if you,
a Mercury?
Could you imagine if you sold someone?
I'm
that?
Even older now.
Could you imagine if you sell that to someone? They come to sign the title. They go, why does it say Ford 500? Don't worry about it. Same car.
That's a Mercury. You see that badge?
That's like, a Mercury for sure.
That's a Mercury.
I do remember the 500, though. I got it. A friend of mine called John. I got it. I was like, John, it was just his car. Like, he was just giving it for a while.
Yeah.
It was literally his grandmother's old car. And he was just like, just drive this for now. I got in it. You know what it had? The pinnacle of luxury features of everything from the early mid-2000s. We want to make our car look upmarket. What are we going to do in the interior? Put a shitty little mechanical analog clock in the middle of the dash.
Beautiful.
And it
That's
was
class
the
right
cheapest
there.
Thing. Oh, it was classy. Oh my god. It's just like...
The thing is, I feel like that car and cars like it, it's like, I feel like that car was never bought new. That car...
Yeah!
That car, the only way
so
I could see someone having that car is it was passed down from them by their grandparents. But it's like, how was that ever on a showroom?
That's the thing. Who goes into... That would... You know how they put... You know, like, oh, you go to a Ford dealership, there's a Focus RS, a GT Mustang. Who rolls a Mercury Montego into the showroom and goes, there you go. It's the best we have to offer.
Oh, my God.
Not like Mercury was doing great. That's why it's on a ground.
Tears in my eyes. How beautiful.
Looks like a chewed Lego. I just keep going back to Lego.
I refuse that they were sold new. I think that they were... I think this is what happened. Listen. So Ford makes this 500.
What are your theories?
They're like, it's not going to sell. It's too ugly. But we've already made so many of them. And so they're like, okay, so this this old person, starting to have dementia now, been driving like their 80s, 70s shitbox for a while. They won't notice if we just switch them, right? And so they just switch them out to, you know, to get more of the Ford, like, nameplate out there.
Yeah.
And then the old people don't notice, and then it gets handed down, and that's how they enter the market. They were never sold new.
They
this
went after
a,
old people.
They
go,
theory.
Hey, love, it'll be all right. We're gonna wash your car.
And they're like, and then they, you know what they're gonna say? They're like, great customer service, incredible customer service. They're gonna spread it around. Ford has the best customer service. And then I think it's a strategy to cut their losses.
I'm sorry. All that saying, I just remembered again. They made it for 2 years before they
it's
had to
hilarious.
Change the name and redesign it because no one bought it.
Well,
you
the
know, Taurus was their like bread and butter forever.
Yeah.
My mom had one. My mom had one for years. She had the M&M looking one, the round one. She had two. She had a Taurus wagon in the 90s when the first one came out. Loved it. Bought another one. Ford 500 came out. She goes, no. And then she went and bought. Actually, she just kept her car and then she went and bought a Volvo or something, which.
Hmm.
I annoyed her by saying, you realize it's just made by Ford,
I mean,
but that's
the
another story.
The era was a little different, right? I mean, we're shitting on it a lot, but, I mean,
yeah.
it was only made for 2 years for a reason, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I just love, they called it the Taurus, changed it to have glitzy headlights, and then sold it after that. It's the same car.
Yeah. No, really.
It's just like, it's exactly the same.
Oh, wait, they had an all-wheel drive one?
Yeah, they did.
Wow, that's actually...
Not a show, but it did have at least all-wheel drive. I think a friend of mine who wrapped his around a telephone pole, his was all-wheel drive
because he lived in Chicago. That's kind of impressive for, like, 04.
It's like one of those big cars that, like...
Or 05, sorry.
Now that we're talking about it, I'm like, yeah, it's actually not terrible. But then it's like, but then Bonnie and Prime, stuff like that, it's never going to be, the Ford 500 will never ever be a Cressida. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's not.
Because the Cressida was like,
Cressida's absolute machine. Cool. I don't know.
Well, it's not an absolute machine.
Maybe we think it's cool. That's what I try to like judge my car likings objectively. Maybe we think it's cool because it's Japanese.
Well, that's the thing. Ooh, I've dropped the thing. That's the thing I have, because remember I opened the other show and I go, I hate people like, oh, JDM, I have a whole, I don't know if we're going to do this episode. However, I have a whole slew of the, you know those stupid Instagram things where it's like, these girls, it's a meme or whatever format it is. It's like split. There's on the top part, it goes, oh my God, he drives like a 90s like Nissan. Oh my God. It's all these girls laughing. And then it's just like, the bottom one's just a random photo of an R34, and it goes like, that's right, bitch. Like, the people like that is what I feel like I sound like a little bit when I go, I like the Cressida. I'm not a fanboy. I just appreciate it.
Yeah, I do. I said, okay, sorry. I want to actually backpedal a little bit. I said maybe we think it's cool because it's Japanese, but I forgot they had turbocharged straight six engines.
Yeah,
they were like a 5 Series.
It was pre-turbo. Like they were doing that before BMW.
Yeah,
were.
No, it was. It's really cool. They're awesome. They were pretty. They were really light for considering what they were, which is full size sedans.
Yeah,
or they'd be considered
for the era.
For the era, they were full size.
For the era, they were.
They were light for what they were. Their engines were really cool. It was not a 2JZ. Fuck off. They were still good engines.
Yeah.
People still make good power out of them. They tune them. Yeah. Of course, you're not going to make like 1,000 horsepower or whatever.
No,
by
but
dropping
still...
like $100,000 on your 2JZ, but you will still make.
I bought a Cressida for $2,000. I'm going to put $100,000 into it and see where we go. Oh, okay. Why don't you buy any other car?
But yeah, I like the Cressida. The Cressida is pretty
appreciate
sweet.
It. And then I also appreciate, and we've talked about this before, we mentioned it before, the Mazda 929.
Mazda 929.
Go off on that, because I didn't know anything about this until you just came up and told me, hey, have you heard of the Mazda 929? I was like, I've heard of the 66 and the Millennia, but...
I don't know, like, an insane amount, but...
All I know is they made it for a while, and we had one here for a handful of years.
Yeah. So, in Japan, I believe it was called the... Well, it was called a bunch of things, like the Luce, and then the Sentia.
Was it Oinos? However you say that brand. Oinos?
Honestly,
Oinos?
Don't know. I don't know what it was sold here. I think it was sold as a Mazda 99.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a competitor to the Cressida, because it is like the same size, comes with a V6, or it comes with a six-cylinder engine, you know, and is like similar weight and stuff. But I was looking at it, and I was like, I remember reading the Wikipedia pages. I was like, there's no way that this made it to the U.S. because I swear I've never seen this on the road.
Yeah.
But no, they came here. They're just so,
I've never
like,
seen one.
You just gloss over them.
It's the most, like, I like it because it's a V6. It's a Mazda V6. That's not a Ford V6.
Yeah, exactly.
It's different. It's not a Lexus. It's not a Toyota. You know, it's a little bit different. It's like a Cressida. It's not like an LS400. You know, it's that kind of thing. If I had seen one in my life, I guarantee you, I probably have.
Yeah.
And I probably would have gone, in the back of my mind, 626. You know, it's a 626. Oh, it's a protege. It's just because Mazda's cars from that era, aside from the Miata, were just, like, the most basic
beige. They're very bland looking, yeah. No, I mean,
which sucks, because it could be, like, from what you, like, show me, it could be, I think it's a cool car. I just think, as a concept, that's cool that they ever did that.
It is cool, and it's, like, the Cressida has quite a bit of, a, like, a cult following, but I don't think the 99 has any. And it's like, they're probably like kind of similar. I mean, they never had it was never like a turbocharged V6. Mm-hmm. From what I see here on the Sentia, it was a 3-liter V6 making 193, which is not bad power.
For the
that's
era.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And the weight, give it a guess.
It's like 3,000.
Actually,
pounds.
that's a little more than that.
3,000?
3,500 to 3,600.
Wow. That's heavy. So what I'm getting at is that is a heavy car.
Wait, maybe I was looking at the earlier generations.
Well, they made them for a while, but we only got like
model. Did we not get the earlier ones?
As far as I know,
actually,
no.
The thing is, I'd notice this if it drove past me, right?
I'm sorry, I would have looked at that and thought it was a Cressida.
Actually, I would too. I'd be like,
oh, I thought cool, you just Cressida. Showed me a photo of Cressida. What year? For the people who aren't seeing what we're seeing, what is the year on
this
that
is
one?
It's a 1999, but it was the, they called it, I guess in Japan, they called it the Luce? Luce?
Luce. Something like that, who knows.
Yeah, but this was the last generation of the Luce. But it was 86 to 91.
That looks identical to a Cressida.
It really does. It makes me think maybe we did have it in the U.S.
We've just never noticed.
But we just, every time we see one, we think it's a Cressida. Whoa, they had a 13B. And a 13B.
Wait, really?
Yeah, look. What, 1.3 13B turbo. They had it. Oh, man. If that's in the U.S., I swear to God.
There's no way.
There's no way they brought
it. That's the car. You know how we were talking about what would you import? That. I mean, just between us, not on the podcast, but that... Would you... Okay, here's...
cheap as fuck.
Here's like, the question I have. Who? It's going to be cheap as fuck. Here's the question I have. 929 with a 13B, or... If you had to choose.
Okay.
Or Cosmo.
The...
Cosmos, whatever it's called.
The new one or the old one?
The one that you wanted, whatever.
With the... Would that have to... Would that have the three-rotor or the two-rotor?
I didn't know there was more than one when I made this accusation just now. I thought there was only the one.
Okay, the...
The later one, the 90s one, that came out when the, like, FDRX7 did.
Yeah, and it looks kind of like a Skyline, but, like, Mazda version. But
yeah, it's, like, kind of, like, semi-luxury or whatever.
That was, I feel like, more famous for its engine, because it had a three-rotor.
I didn't know that. There was only a two-rotor.
Yeah, no, there was a three-rotor, and that was, like, the one people wanted.
Yeah.
They take that engine out of the car and put it in RX-7s. And, like,
oh.
That's, like, really common. Oh. And that's why people seek out that car. But I think that car is so cool on its own. And, like, I'd get a two-rotor one just because it's a cool car.
It looks cool. Like, it still looks
it's
good.
It's rad. It's like, the interior looks pretty good, I think, too.
Apart from the fact of, I ruined it for you because I said it looked like a Lincoln Mark
I mean,
8.
It does, but...
Fuck, whatever man. That horrible Thunderbird
I still like it. I'm just gonna ignore that comment. The things I guarantee all of them are automatic because they're like luxury Japanese cars. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they usually get them in automatic, so importing one,
it just pains me to put an automatic on a rotary.
Yeah,
because they always like break earlier than the manuals. Yeah. But it's a luxury car, I
and
get
it's
it.
Like high RPM and you're sloshing around all that like automatic transmission fluid. Like,
a lot of things to get that torque converter.
But would I have okay, if it had a three-rotor, the Cosmo, yeah. I'd definitely do it over anything. Because those are really fast.
I didn't know that. Did
you know about three-rotors in general?
I knew it existed, but yeah. I had learned about it or come into it from saying, oh, that's something people modify and make and do with other stuff from other cars to, like, an RX-7. You know, oh, three-rotor, four-rotor, that's insane.
That's a factory. The three-rotor was factory.
That's pretty cool.
It was factory only in the Cosmo, I'm pretty sure. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I'm pretty sure it was factory only in the Cosmo. And that's... Like, that car is more famous for its engine than it is for the actual car, which is a shame, because I think it looks really good.
Yeah. And we never got those here, of course.
Yeah, unfortunately. But... Or would I have...
Okay, well, forget the question.
If I had a two-rotor... Two-rotor that, or two-rotor this, it'd be tough. Okay, because the Cosmo is already, like, a niche, cult-following car.
That's even more niche.
This is, like, so niche.
I...
Car guys, like, devout car guys, even Mazda enthusiasts, if you were to say, I drive a Luce imported from Japan with a 13B in it, I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? What is this car? And he pulls up, and I'm like, no, that's a Cressida.
Yeah.
I think you're mistaken. That's a Cressida with Mazda badges. Maybe they, like, were some badge engineering thing.
Yeah.
Lifts up the hood. It's an actual 13B. It's got Mazda, like,
And then the next question will be, did you swap this?
Yeah, no, exactly. And so it's, like, just for that one experience where I go to a car meet and I find, like, another Mazda fanboy and he's like, what the fuck is that? Because he's going to know what a Cosmo is.
He's going to know what a Cosmo is. He's going to know Miata, RX-7, everything.
He's probably not going to know what a Luce is.
No, he's going to have no idea what that is. That's amazing, though. I did not know that existed.
Yeah, so...
Okay, this is probably a good time to stop, then. We'll move on to the next thing, but that's about time for us. Thanks for listening. Again, I'm Jacob.
Oh, I'm Dave.
Nice.
Sorry, I just spaced out for a second.
We'll probably cut the recording off for that time. More random bullshittery to come next week. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Adios.
Jag åkte ner till Stockholm och då fick jag se glänsande Porschar och BMW. Men jag har en kärra som är bättre, den då är en Volvo 142.